Okay, today's daf is Menachas daf Ayin Aleph. As we continue, second to last daf in Perek Rabbi Yishmael, and we are on Ayin Amabez. We'll start with the two dots. V'liksar lefnei ha'omer. So Mishnah, if you remember, had just discussed different halachas about what's allowed to be done before the omer and what one has to wait for until after the omer. We mentioned that the five types of grains are the ones that have to not be eaten until after the Omer is brought. That's called Chadash. Anything not from the five grains is Mutter. And the Mishnah said that you can't even cut it. You can't even cut it before the Omer. So now the Gemara says, Omer, we read this yesterday, So now the Gemara says, my Kodem la'Omer. What does it mean, Kodem la'Omer? According to Rashi, this question is about eating the Omer. What does it mean that you're not allowed to eat the from the grains before the Omer? So what is that? What stage is that? So Rabbi Yona Omar Kodem Kitzira Sa'omer. Rabbi Yona says it means before the cutting of the Omer. What does that mean, the cutting of the Omer? So the Rashba on Rashi, and also Tosfos here explains for Rashi, that means before the time of the cutting of the Omer. When do you cut the Omer? The night before. The night of Leil Tezayin. But once the time for the Omer has passed, the cutting of the Omer has passed, so then one is allowed to eat from the Omer even before the Omer is brought. That means, like we had a day earlier, Heir Mizrach is Matir. Right, that's what it means here. Kodem Ketziras Omer. It's also before the time of the cutting of the Omer, but right when the cutting of the Omer is finished, so then it becomes Mutter. Rabbi Yossi ben Zavda Omer, Kodem Avos Omer. No, you go by the actual bringing of the Omer, not by the morning of. If this is the Machlokas, as we just explained it, according to Rashi, then this is the same exact Machlokas that we had earlier. Daf Samaches, we had a couple of days ago, when we had the Mishnah that said, once the Omer is brought, Hutar HaChadosh Miyad, we had a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Same as that Machlokas here. Rav Shmuel held, if you remember, Rav Shmuel Dami Travaihu, Bizmatza Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Omer Matir, Bizmatza Eim Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Heir Mizrach Matir. Right, it's the morning of his Matir. And then Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said, no, Afil Bizmatza Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Heir Mizrach Matir. Even Bizman Beis HaMikdash, it's the morning of, right, that's when Omer is Matir from the morning of. We wait, L'mitzvah, just bring the Kamer and Omer. But that's according to Rashi, this is the same Machlokas as that one. Tosfos has a different pshat here in the Gemara, but we'll go with Rashi's pshat. So again, my Kodem L'Omer, what does it mean that the Omer is usher to eat, the Chadash usher to eat before you bring the Omer? So Rabbi Yonah says before, once it becomes the morning, you could eat it. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavta says, no, once you actually bring the Omer. So Tanan, Asurin B'chadash B'lefnei Pesach V'lekshar B'lefnei Omer. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, had two different phrases. One about the Isser of eating the Omer. One about the Isser of cutting the Omer. So Bishlam Alamanda Amar Kodem Havasa Omer. If you say like Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavta, that what it means, but the eating of the Omer is also before you bring the Omer. So Hainu Deloka Arav Luhu Vatani Luhu. So then it makes sense that the Mishnah did not put the two phrases together, because you're allowed to cut the Omer once it becomes the morning. You're allowed to eat the Omer once the Omer is actually brought. So that's the reason why you'd say them two as a separate phrases. El Alamanda Omer Kodem Ketziras Omer. But if you say both, even the eating of the Omer goes by the end of the time of cutting the Omer, which is the morning. So in the morning, the halachas of both eating and cutting kick in. So lirvinu v'lisinu. Then why don't you say them together? Asurin b'chadash v'liksar l'fnei ha'pesach. So then why wouldn't you put it together, according to Rabbi Yonah? So the Gemara says it must be that there's a different understanding of the machlokas. Ela'i itbar seifa itbar. Must be this machlokas is not about the actual bringing of the Omer, it's about something else. The following, Imish Rishu Kodem La Omer, Omer Matiran, as the Mishnah said, if the grain took root before the Omer was brought, then the Omer is Matirat. So my Kodem La Omer, that's the question. When does it have to take root before? Which stage? So Rav Yehuda Omer Kodem Havasa Omer, Rav Yosef Arzavda Omer Kodem Ksirsa Omer, or the other Girsa switches it. But either way, the Machlokas is about the Hashrasha, it's not about when you're allowed to eat it, therefore it's not related to the other Halacha in the Mishnah, and that's why it has it separately. And also, if this is true, this is not the same Machlokas then as Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish and Rav Shmuel, as we had, as we mentioned earlier. Okay, so Amalei, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshia, Didare. Rabbi Lazar said to Rabbi Yoshia of his generation, because there were other Rabbi Yoshias, Rashi points out, in the earlier generation. So he said to Rabbi Yoshia in his generation, Lo teisev akarech ad mefarshesli lohamas tisan. Don't sit down until you explain to me this Mishnah. Don't, you got to do it right now. Don't sit down. Which Mishnah? Minayim lo Omer shematir bashrasha. How do I know that Omer goes by hashrasha? You know, I might have thought maybe it goes by other types of measurements. You know, maybe it has to grow the whole way. Maybe it just has to be put into the ground. How do you know that it has to go by hashrasha? By taking root. If it took root before the Omer, then the Omer is matirid, and if not, not. So how do you know that? So minalan dechsiv aviv. How do you know that? From the fact that it says aviv. It says by the Omer, it has to be brought. Actually, this pasuk is by aviv, is by Karbe Mincha, in general, in Perek Beis of Vayikra. So it says aviv. What does aviv mean? Rashi says aviv means totally mevushal, totally ripe. Mevushal kol tzarcho. Doesn't mean totally cooked. It means totally ripe. Lav michlal diikad lav aviv. So it must be that there are minchas that are not aviv, that are not ripe yet. So the mincha is brought from the grain that is ripe. It must be there's other items that are growing that it does not matir. So that must be post hashrasha. That's our diik. Because by mincha it also says it has to be aviv. Says the Gemara, adding in the word from the Bach, v'dilma delav aviv ula olam da'ayel shlish. Maybe you're right. There are other earlier stages of growths that the Omer does not matir, but who says that it has to be, that's anything before aviv? So maybe it has to be, that it is matir, maybe it has to have brought a shlish already. Maybe it has to grow in a third. You don't only go after hashrasha. Maybe it has to have grown a third. So Alam Rishmuel, okay, a different thought. Mehachel chermesh, from the beginning of your cutting, lav michlal deika delav bar chermesh. Doesn't that mean that there are items that are not ready to be cut already? They're not ready. So doesn't that mean, again, that it is post hashrasha? So Gemara says again, v'dilmo delav bar chermesh olam shachas. Maybe it's even earlier, right? That it's not ready to be cut. I'm sorry, even later after Shlish. It's not ready to be cut, but it's already Shachas. It's already considered animal fodder. It's grown that amount. So again, how do you know Hashrasha? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, third try. Kama. It's the standing grain that has to be cut. Lav Michlal de Lav Bar Kama. Doesn't that mean that there's also earlier stages that we're talking about? I have a domo de la barkamo la olam agam. Maybe it's already agam. Maybe it's already in the, it's grown a little. Rashi says it's enough to grow and bend it on itself. Like an agam, an agmon is a cane. So it can be bent over. So again, all these cases prove that there's an earlier stage. But who says that earlier stage is Hashrasha? So Ella Amarava. So that's why Rava comes along with the final stage, with an Ella. Asher Tizra, Mishazria. No, you go by very early. Asher Tizra all the way from the earlier stage when you were Zorea it, when you sowed it itself. So Gemara says now the opposite. If you're telling me it even goes by Zaria, Avagav Delo Hishrashnami. So maybe the second that it's in the ground, the Omer should matir it. Because Zariah is even before Ashrasha. So Gemara says, no. Amar le Sudni Bisadexiv. He says, Sudni, which is a nickname, which we'll see, talk about in a minute, Basadexiv. It says Basadeh. If it's just a seed put into the field, that's not going to be considered part of the Sadeh yet. So it's got to be very early, but it's only considered Basadeh after it takes root, after it's nishtarish, but it doesn't have to be any of the later stages, right? Because it has to be as close to Zriya as it can, but as long as it's part of the Sadeh. Okay, that's the source that it has to have Ashrasha before the Omer. 2 points. Number one is, the Briskerov points out that Rashi here says that Aviv means Mevushal Kol Tzarcho. And not only here, if you look back on Daf Samach Dalid, Look at the Samach Dalet where the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Samach Dalet Mabes, Mitzvah Sa'omer Lavi Min HaKarov. You're supposed to bring from what's close, right? Lo Bikir HaKarov LiYushalayim, whatever was it, Mivukar. What does Lo Bikir mean? Rashi again there says, Lo Bikir Bishel Kol Tzarcho. Right, again it says, it wasn't Bibishel, it didn't ripen totally. So the Brisker Rav says, you see from the Rashi over there in Daf Samach Dalet, and from the Rashi here in Daf Ayin Aleph, that Rashi seems to have a special din when it comes to the Omer, it's got to be fully ripe. He doesn't mention this by other carbon as Mincha, but the Brisker Rav says there in Daf Samach Dalet, Yesh la'ayin, im din zed to be in a Bishel called Tzarcho, who din b'chol menachas, to be in a Bishel called Tzarcho, Osh zeo din miyuchad ba'omer. So he says it seems like that it's Dafka did in the Omer, because Rashi doesn't mention this, and the other Mishnayis don't mention this when it comes to the other Karbanas Mincha. He says the Rambam doesn't mention anything like this. Doesn't mention it in Mevushal Kol Tzarcho as Aviv, or as Biker Kol Tzarcho, looking around for the Karov. So he says, Lefiza Mashma, du din miyucha la Omer, Mashenki Mishar Menach, as leka din zeh, v'yem kein, havle la Rambam, Mashmeinu din zeh. The Rambam should have mentioned something. Umi de Sasam, the fact that he didn't. Mashma de Lesle de Ika din miyuchad ba'omer v'lo hizkir klali ba'ikol tzarcho alo. Right? He said at least Rashi says it. The Rambam is not clear what the Rambam holds, but at least Rashi says that it should be mevushal kol tzarcho. It should be totally ripe when it is used. Number one. Number two, what's the name Sudni? He calls him Sudni basadexiv. So what is Sudni? Rashi quotes two pshatim what Sudni is. The second pshat Rashi says Sudni is a beer brewer. He mixes beer. He quotes the Gemara in Psachim where it says, he says, somebody says to Rav Papa, if you wouldn't be a beer brewer, you wouldn't have gotten rich. So he says, a Sudni, Sudna, is a beer brewer. The other daya is the first daya. Sudni from the word, it's for Talmidei Chachamim, from the word Sod Hashem Lireav. Sudni is Hashem chose the secrets to his Yireim, to those that fear him. That's Sod Hashem Lireav Sudni. That phrase comes up at least two times in the Raivin. I have quoted this before. The Raivin writes both in Hilchas Sukkah and in Hilchas Beis Abchira. The Raivin says the Rambam has the quotes. The Rambam holds that a hadas that has its top chopped off is still kosher. It's the Rambam Shita. How does he work it out in the Mishnayos and the Gemara? That's a challenge. But the Rambam says, Hada Shediktam Rosho is Kasher. That's what he writes in Ilchas Lulav. Says the Ravid, Kfar Hofia Ruach HaKodesh B'Beis Medrashenu, Mikamashonim. We've already had divine visions in our Beis Medrash. Many years. Ve'he'elunu Shehu Pasol, Kistam Mishnasenu. And we said it was possible based on that vision. V'dibra b'tarfen sh'amar afilu shlosan k'tuvim k'sherin inyin acherhu v'lo shenektam rosho v'akol borer b'chibureinu u'makam hinichu li min ha'shamayim. So here he doesn't quote the exact Lashon, but the basic idea of Sod Hashem Lireav, Hashem shows his secrets to the ones that fear him. So the Ravid quotes this. Ravid quotes that he had a divine vision about hadas shenektam is going to be possible, like Stam Mishnah. Doesn't mean this literally. Some of our Hashem say, the Rav doesn't really mean it. Rav just means that he came up with this himself. What does it sound like? Doesn't usually use that lashon. Kfar hofia ruach hakodesh umakam inichu li ben hashamayim. That's one Rav. The other Rav actually uses our phrase. That's the Rav in Beis Abchira. The Rav there, when it's the Rambam, well-known Rambam, the Rambam is talking about Kudusha Rishona, Kitchel Ashaita, Vekitchel Asalavo, does Eretz Yisrael / Yerushalayim retain its Kudusha forever from the original moment that Yeshua went in, that Ezra went in? What do you hold? So the Rambam says that Kudusha Rishona of Yerushalayim is Kitcha La'asilavo. That's what the Rambam holds. The rest of Eretz Yisrael is Lo Kitcha La'asilavo. So the Raivah there says, Amar Avram, Svaras Atzmo Hizu, V'lo Yadati Me'ayin Lo, U'bakama B'kamas Mishnah, Im Ein Mikdash Yirakev. Sounds like the Mishnah, the Kedusha doesn't apply always for Ma'aser Sheni, for other halachas. Lefishaya, and why not? Lefishaya Yodeya Ezra. Ezra knew. Shaha Mikdash Yerushalayim Asidin Lehishtanos. Ulehiskadesh Kiddush Acher. Olamei Bekavod Hashem La'olam. Ezra knew originally when he sanctified it that it wouldn't be eternal, and therefore he didn't sanctify it forever. And then he adds, Kach Nigla Misod Hashem Lireyav. Again, he quotes that. This was a nigla to me. Right? This is the Ravid talking. You wouldn't expect the Ravid, who was so strongly discusses shitas with the Rambam, but that's what he says again, both in Hilchos Sukkah and Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Lefichach, and therefore the Ravid asks, Hanichnas Atasham ein bo karis. This is also a much quoted Ravid. If you go there today, no karis on Har HaBayis. So this is the Ravid that's quoted for some of the people that go up on Har HaBayis. Ein bo karis. The Ravid doesn't say mutter. The Ravid says ein bo karis. That'd be a certain element that's missing today, but it doesn't say it's mutter. So it could be, it sounds like, according to the Ravid, it's an isadaraisa, even though ein bo karis. But this is the Ravid when the Armishta, he called him Sudni. So because of Sod Hashem Li Reyav, the Ravid in at least two places in Mishnah Torah uses this principle of Sod Hashem Li Reyav when he's talking about a psak. And that itself is a separate question. Are you allowed a paskin based on a divine vision? Usually we say not. Usually we say like that Gemara Bar Mitzia, lo bashamayim hi. Rabbi Shemayim, that even if a baskol goes out and says the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and the trees move and the water moves, usually we wouldn't paskin that way. So what does the Ravid mean? Sod Hashem Li Reyav. So there are examples where we do paskin from heavenly signs, right? You don't have to look further than the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is letting HaKadosh B'nai Yisrael know about certain decisions. So some suggest maybe there's a difference between the different types of decisions. The Urim V'Tumim are telling us national questions about who to attack and who not to attack. They're not just telling me psak halacha. So when it comes to advice, national destiny advice, so that maybe you can get from the Urim V'Tumim. But when it comes to, which you have to ask Eli, right? Eli was asking, was Chana drunk or not? Right? And he asked that from the Urim V'Tumim. Maybe that's why he didn't interpret it properly. But we usually assume that divine intervention does not play a role in psak. That's what we usually do. Again, it's part of a larger issue, but we will leave it. Just one source that we always like to quote, and that is Rav Sternbach has a tshuva, where he talks about a number of the, where it's in Chelek Aleph, Siman Taf Lamed Aleph, where he talks about a number of the stories that are quoted as where it seems like they took it as a sign from heaven. Right, the question of the Chassam Sofer, where he paskins that if one sleeps a Sheinas Keva less than 6 hours, so then one does not have to wait 6 hours. If one went to sleep very late, and one had Fleishik right before he went to sleep, and then in the morning he wants a cup of coffee, less than 6 hours later, he could have the cup of coffee. Because Sheinas Keva changes the digestion, and therefore is good enough to be able not to have to wait 6 hours. And the next morning, if Chassam Sofer gave this psak, he woke up in the morning, he poured himself a cup of coffee, and he spilled it all over himself. So he took it as a siman ben hashamayim, that it must be that my psak is incorrect. Or the other psak, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes that there was a major machlokes achronim when somebody is buried, whether you bury them in a kosher talus or a pasul talus, whether you cut the tzitzis. So he quotes that the Gra and the Yesod Shoresh Vavoda, both of them were very makpid to say you have to be buried in a kosher talus. They both told the Talmidim, you have to bury me in a kosher talus. So that's what Kachave, that's what happened. But during the funerals of both of these great Gedolim, says the Aruch HaShulchan, one of them, the Talmud that was told how to go to the bathroom, right when they were doing the burial, and when he weren't there, the rest of the Chaver Kadisha cut the corner, or the other one got caught on a branch on the way down into the Kever. Lamaisa, they went in and it was cut. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, they took it out of the Simim and HaShemayim, that this is not what's supposed to be. Or about the Graz Duchening, that also didn't work out. So the Rav Sternbach says, in all these cases, what are we supposed to think? That they really took it as a Simim, Sod Hashem Li Reyav, it was automatic? So he says, no, it must be that they took it as a Simim too, re-research the sugya. And when they re-research the sugya, they might have come out with a different result. But not, it wasn't automatic. Oh, magic! I took it as a siman, I'm going to change my psak. We usually don't hold of that. But again, there is a major discussion in terms of dreams. Do you take a dream as being messages for halacha? Okay, that is all related to the word in our Gemara, sudni, which Rashi says, Sod Hashem Li Reyav. Okay, says the Mishnah. Kotsrin beis hashlachin sheba amakim. So we just said that there's an isser of kitsira. We're not allowed to cut the grain before the omer is cut. But now the Mishnah is telling us some exceptions. One is allowed to cut beis hashlachin from irrigated fields. One is allowed to cut them sheba amakim, those that are in the valleys. Why? Because these are exceptions. Why? Rashi quotes two pshatim. Either because if these aren't cut on time, then they get ruined. And therefore, this Isser of Ketzira, one doesn't have to worry about, but Makam Hefsin Meruba, number one. And number two, these aren't high quality grains. And therefore, the Omer is never going to come from them. So the only iser, as the Gemara is going to say, the only iser of cutting before the Omer is something that could be fit to use for the Omer. But if it's not going to be fit to be used for the Omer, so then you're allowed to cut it. Not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to cut it. And that's what the Mishnah, that's what Rashi quotes, the reason of the Gemara, that it is not going to be used. And number two, it's going to be Hufsad. The Minchas Chinuch just has a Ha'ara, where he talks about, I don't mind that Rashi is quoting the reason of the Gemara and even an extra reason, but I don't know why the Rambam does this. Says the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Beis, he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Tamidin, where the Rambam says, Kotsrin Shelo Yafsidu. It's also the next line of the Gemara about the Netiyas. He says, what's the Rambam adding reasons for? The Rambam doesn't always quote reasons. Pretty unusual. Unless it's teaching me a new halacha. But the Rambam's giving a reason that the Gemara doesn't even say. So Minchas Chinuch doesn't answer the question. He just quotes, I don't know why the Rambam is giving a reason, a different reason than the Gemara says. If he gives the reason the Gemara says, okay, because maybe the Gemara means a specific nafka mina based on that reason. But here, Mikal Makam ala Rambam, Sarachian, Dlami Shavki Besifro, She'enu Mosev Dmidilea, Lashon Mishnah Vashas, Imlo al Eza Kavana Miyuchedes, Linyan Dina. Must be that he quoted it for some reason, but I don't know what that reason is. Why he quotes that reason of Hefsid, and not the other reason of, it's not right to use for the Omer, and that's why you're allowed to cut it. And that's that second reason which is used in the Gemara. Okay, but the Mishnah says, just keep in mind, that you're only allowed to cut it avolo gochin, but you're not allowed to make the big piles after you cut it. Because that's the next stage of the processing element that you would do, and as the Shilu Kubetzes here says, then you have a chashash that you might come to eat it. Just to cut it because you're worried about a loss, so it would allow you to cut it. But just then to continuing the process, what you usually do, and making it into gadish, so that we don't allow you to do. Anshe yiricho kotzim beretzon chachamim, v'gochin shelo beretzon chachamim, v'lo micho biyadam, the people of Yericho, the Anshe Yericho, if you remember from Sachim, the Anshe Yericho did a lot of things. We're going to quote it again. The Anshe Yericho used to cut, and the rabbis were happy about it. But then they used to even do the next stage, and the rabbis were not happy about it, but they didn't scream at them. They didn't stop them. They didn't protest their behavior, meaning it was bad, but it wasn't terrible. Next, kotzer l'shachas ma'achila behema. Most assume this is one phrase. I'm allowed to cut even before the omer. I'm allowed to cut for animal fodder. That's not called a ma'isa kitzira. If I'm only cutting for animal fodder, that's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has an added condition. Emasai bizman shemaschil ad shelo hayvi shlish. One is only allowed to cut for the animal fodder, kotzer l'shachas, with an added condition of it's got to be very early. It didn't even bring become a third of its ripening before havash shlish. If it's after havash shlish, then it's usur, even if it's for shachas, even if it's for animal fodder. That's already called a ma'isa kitzira. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yikzer v'yachil af mishevi shlish. No, no problem. If it's for animals, you can even do it after havash shlish. How many shitas are in the Mishnah? Two or three. We'll have to see in the Gemara. The Tanakhama just says you're allowed to cut it. Is Rabbi Yehuda arguing? Is Rabbi Yehuda adding, explaining? So we'll have to see. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda says only before Havash Shlish, and Rabbi Shimon says even after Havash Shlish. Next halacha, v'kotzrin mipnei netios. One is allowed to cut before the Omer for netios. What are netios? Netios are little saplings, and one is allowed to cut for them. Again, Rashi quotes two different reasons. What does that mean? Because sometimes grain grows amongst saplings, and if you don't get rid of the grain, that's going to ruin the saplings. It's going to take all the water, all the liquid from the earth. So that's why you let it cut it, because you're not chayev to be mafsid to lose these netios. That's what Rashi says, shelo yifsidu, lefisha osa tfua eina ru'uya la'omer. It's not fitting for the omer. I'm sorry, that is that's number one, and therefore, you don't want that to be mafsid. It's not right for the Omer. Rashi combines the two reasons. It's not right for the Omer, and also you don't want to be mafsid these netios. Number two, the second reason he quotes is kelayim. He says you don't want to be mafsid them because this is kelayim when you have these netios along with the grain. And the second, we know the halacha is from kelayim, the second that is nichalacha, that you know about it, and you don't uproot it, so then that's going to be the iser. So that's why you're allowed to be kotzer mipnei hanitios. That is, those are the two reasons in Rashi. Or, continuing, mipnei beis ha'avel, you're also allowed to cut the omer if you need to go through the brachos that we give to mourners that we don't really do nowadays. But the Gemara at the beginning of Subas talks about there was a special bracha that we gave, not just Hamachem Yenachem, but a special bracha, a birchas rechava, as it was called, the bracha of the street that it talks about. Rashi quotes in the second wide line, Chesem Abezing Subas, Acheinu Hamiyugayim. You need, what if you need to place space at the funeral to do that? So you'll have to cut the Omer in order to make space, the cut before the Omer in order to have space to do that. Or Mibnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash, giving a shir. You need more place to, for people to sit for the shir. They don't always have the shirim inside. You have it outside somewhere under a tree. So you're allowed to cut before the Omer for Bitul Beis HaMedrash. But even though you're allowed to do these, Vlo Yasos on Krichos. As we said before, you can't make them into bundles. After you're allowed to cut for Bitul Beis HaMedrash or Avel, you're not allowed to cut them into bundles. Avel Manichin Tzvasim. But you're allowed to leave them open. You're allowed to leave them open. Okay. Important point is, they have all these heterim. Is it a Nisa D'Araisa or a Nisa D'Rabbanan to cut before the Omer? Didn't we learn that from Sukkim before? Seems like we learned that from Sukkim. So if it's a Nisa D'Araisa, how are we allowed to have all these heterim? To give away all your money. To prevent yourself from mitzvah daraisa, and then break it by the Ramah writes in Hilchas Sukkah that for mitzvahs asay daraisa, so there are limits. There's alivaz ve'z yosimi chomesh, and there's a hider mitzvah at shlish b'mitzvah. There are different gemaras, different maximums how much we have to spend for a mitzvah asay. But a mitzvah lo asay, we have to give away all of our money to prevent ourselves from violating a lo asay. Maybe even a lo asay derabanan is discussed there in Hilchas Sukkah. So all of a sudden here, because I might lose, I'm allowed to cut. So the Achronim say, what you have to say is that the Isser before the Omer, the Ketzira, is not a per se Isser of cutting. Not a per se Isser of cutting. But it's what we would call harvesting. Harvesting means I'm interested in what I am taking. That's the goal of what I'm doing. And you find this in Hilchos Shabbos as well. Sometimes the Isser of Shabbos, the Isser Daraisa of Shabbos, the Gemara in Kal Gadol talks about Zomer Vitzarach Leitzim, talk about certain cases. Sometimes you can find define the Malacha of Kotzer not as cutting, as reaping, but as harvesting. And that word is more specific because it includes that you want what you are cutting. So if you say that, so then that's why it's mutter. Even if you say the Issa D'Araisa is the harvesting, therefore if you're cutting it for a Bitul Beis HaMedrash or for Beis HaAvel, that's not included in the Issa D'Araisa. Because the Issa D'Araisa is only when you are interested in what you are taking, and that is your ultimate goal. What?
Why is Kituf?
Did it by hand. Maybe because even there you are interested, so you have to say, meaning kitav even for your own tzarach, his mutter.
Yeah, it's
because you're doing it with a shinoi. Because you're doing it with a shinoi. So you have to figure out how that, it's only reap, it could be that with shinoi. Only reaping, or harvesting in the normal way is going to be asa daraisa. But anything else is going to be, and most derabanan, and the question is, maybe the rabbanan warrant goes there in that case. If it's just singular with one person or in the unusual way.
That would only seem to work for the cases where you're clearing it for the base medrash,
but the irrigated fields, that might be for a different reason. That was never included. That's only what is ra'ui for the Omer to come from. Yeah. Right, yes, that might be included in the Isser at all. So. I think about even if you want to see you doing it because of the Natios, still, your not ultimate purpose is not because of what you're getting. But you're right, if it's that other reason of Rashi helps out then in that case, that only what's Roy, which the Gemara is going to mention in a second, only what's Roy to bring the Omer from, do we say, has that Isser. Okay, finishing up the Mishnah. Mitzvah sa'omer lahavi lavo minakama. It's a mitzvah to bring from what's already standing, meaning to do kitsira lishma. That is by the Omer. To do Katsira Lishma. Lo Matzah. What if you go out and they found that it's already been cut? Yavimina Omer, and then you can bring from the bundles. L'chadchila to bring from what's standing, and if not from the bundles. Mitzvasa Lavel Min Alach. It's a mitzvah to bring from what is moist and fresh. Lo Matzah Yavi Yavish. You can bring even from Yavish. Mitzvasa Liksar Balayla. It's a mitzvah to cut at night, like the Mishnah says in Megillah. By all the mitzvahs that are kasher kol halayla, kitzira sa'omer. This is a cut at night. Nixer bayom, kasher. Nixer bayom is kasher. Vidocha es haShabbos. And when you cut, as we had earlier already in the Mishnayos, it's docha Shabbos. Pashas, this means the kitzira sa'omer. We'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to expand this. Maybe this also means the burning, the baking of the omer. But at least now, it sounds like from the Mishnah, the Pashas is that it means kitzira sa'omer. Okay, there's a discussion I saw in the Biurei Hadaf. Is it only the Kohanim that are allowed to be do Ketzirasa Omer on Shabbos? Because really, on a weekday, even a Zar could do the Ketzira. Would we say that a Kohen has to do it? So he says, one of the Akronim say, maybe it's connected to a parallel sugya. We know Shechita is Ksheir Bazar. A Zar could do Shechita. But there are some hints in some sources that on Shabbos, a Zar should not do it. Let's say the carbon tumid. Or any, right, only is only going to come up with like by a carbon kavua, because only carbonos kavuim, kavuas man is going to come up on Shabbos. Is a czar allowed to do shechita on Shabbos? So there are some, look in the summary showing them, I think in the Ritva, in Yuma Chafei, I think the Ritva says that even by every carbon seaboard, that lachadchila, a Kohen should do it. But if a czar does it, it's kosher. But can a czar do it even on Shabbos? After all, he cannot finish the avodah, he cannot continue. So there are some hints in some sources that say, because a czar cannot finish the process, so that's why maybe, even though shechita can be done on a weekday, he shouldn't be do it on Shabbos. So maybe the same idea would apply here. Maybe here, even though usually a czar could do it, maybe he shouldn't do it on Shabbos. That is a suggestion that I saw in one of the Akronim. But either way, it says, Dochez is a Shabbos. Tanya. Gemara says, Rabbi Binyamin Omer, Kasav Echad Omer, Uksar Temes Kitsirava Havesim is Omer. One pasuk says, cut your reaping and bring the Omer, which sounds like you could do some cutting before the Omer. Viksiv Rashis Kitsir Chemela Kohen, and the other one says, no, the first Kitsir should be to the Kohen. Haketzad, Mimakum Sha'ata Mevi Iata Kotzer. From a place where you could bring the Omer from, that you're not allowed to cut. Mimakum Sha'ata Mevi Iata Kotzer. From any area that you're, any type that you're not going to bring the Omer from, then you can reap. There's no Isser then. I, says the Gemara, Ema, mi min sha'ata mevi atakotzer. Mi min sha'ata mevi atakotzer. Why are you going by the, is it good grain, or is it inferior grain? Why do you go by types? Meaning you should only be able, you only bring the Omer from barley. So all other types of grain should be mutter. And we know that's not true. So the Gemara says, no, ha'ula matzis amrit mid Rabbi Yochanan. No, Rabbi Yochanan, earlier we had the drasha that you learn all five grains, comparing matzah and challah and omer. So that's why the Isser applies to all the five grains. Excuse me, the only limud that it's mutter is the inferior types, like the Beis HaShlachin. Next, Anshei Yericho Kotzim Berzo Chachamim V'Kon Shishlo Berzo Chachamim. So the Mishnah says that the Anshei Yericho used to cut under the auspices of the rabbis, and they were very happy about it, Berzo Chachamim, but then they did the next stage, and the rabbis were not happy about it. Man Shamas Leidara Michu V'Lo Michu. Who has this type of behavior? Who said that the rabbis did this type of behavior? That some they protested, some behavior they protested, and some behavior they didn't protest? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda did this. So now the Gemara says, V'Sav Rabbi Yehuda Ketzir Anshei Yericho Berzo Chachamim Ave. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they were happy that the Anshei Yericho cut. But that's not true. But Tanya, we learned in a Brisa that according to Rabbi Yehuda, they were not happy about this. Let's see. Shisha, the Ramon, so Anshei Yericho. We have this back in Sachem. There were six actions that the Anshei Yericho, the people of Yericho did. Right? There used to be Jews living in Yericho. Right? Even though there's a curse in Sefer Yehoshua that anybody who rebuilds Yericho, right, now to build Yericho, will lose his kids. And that's why later in Sefer Malachim, there was a man named Chiel, who tried to rebuild Yericho, and he lost all of his kids. Right, it says that his Bechor died by the first stone, and by the last stone, his seventh son died. So he lost all the stones. The halacha is the Jews are not allowed to rebuild Yericho. But once non-Jews build up Yericho, and it's there, there's no issue to live there. There's no live there. Yeshua didn't make an issue to live there. He made an issue to rebuild it. To remember the nace, but once the other people did it, then you can live there, and you find that Peter Yericho. Look at the Mishnayos, right? The Mishnayos and Tumid. In Yericho, they could smell the Ktoris, and in Yericho, right? So Yericho. So you see, people live there. So said Hatanya. So the Brisa says there were six things the people of Yericho did. Shlosha Bertzon Chachamim. Shlosha Bertzon Chachamim. Three they were happy about. Three they weren't happy about. Ve'elusha Bertzon Chachamim. These three the rabbis were happy about. Markivin to Kalim Kalhayom. Or at least the rabbis, it was with their ratzon. Maybe it wasn't the best behavior, but it was with their ratzon. Number one, they used to graft trees on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, when usually there was an Isser Malacha, but this wasn't called a Malacha. That's why they were allowed to graft trees on Erev Pesach. V'karchin es Shema, and they were korech on Shema. What does that mean? Let's leave that for now. We'll get back to it. They did Shema somewhat in an unusual way. V'kotzer l'fnei ha'omer. Beretzon Chachamim, and they also cut before the Omer, and the rabbis were fine with it. The Eila, we'll finish the whole thing, and then we'll come back. The Eila Shalom Beretzon Chachamim, and the following actions were Shalom Beretzon Chachamim. Goad Shin Lefneha Omer. They even made the piles before the Omer. Umatirin Gamzios Shel Hektish, Shel Chara Vishal Shekma, and the parents of these people used to plant, they were Maktish trees to Hektish. Sycamore trees, which were usually used for their wood. And the children felt that their parents did not have the new branches that would grow in mind. They thought the branches did not have Kedusha, and therefore, they used to use the branches, because they felt that didn't have Kedusha, only the trunk had Kedusha. But everything else that grew afterwards, they didn't have Kedusha. So that's what they did. And the rabbis were not happy about that. Uparts in Pirtzos Begago Sehen, Upardoso Sehen, and they also made holes in their roofs or in their orchards, Lahachl Neshel Aniyim, to let the Aniyim into their fields, Bishnei Batzores, during famine years, Bishabaz of Yamatov, Mashabaz and Yantif. What was wrong with that? There was a Xera Shem, they might come to climb the tree. If you're letting the Aniyim come in, instead of designating, getting things for the Aniyim and giving it to them, if you let the Aniyim come into your field and they'll want to climb the trees, that also the Chachamim were not happy about that. Dibur Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir Shita. Three things, the Ritzon Chachamim, three things not. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Ir Ritzon Chachamim hein osin. If you're saying that these three things they did and the rabbis were happy about, you call out them osin kein. So what are you designating Anshe Yericho? Everybody could do this. Anshe Yericho aren't specific. Ella, Elu ve'elu shelo beretzon chachamim. Really, says Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbis weren't happy about any of these six. They weren't happy about any of these. It's just that three they were really unhappy about. Al shlosha micho biyadam, al shlosha lo micho biyadam. That's what it means. Elu shlo micho biyadam. Which three did they not protest, even though they weren't happy about it? Markiven to kolam kolayom, makarchan eshma, v'kosim v'goshon, l'fnei ha'omer. Right, those three, they were not happy. That's already the stira. Because you see, Rabbi Yehuda was not happy even about Ketzirah sa'omer. And that's the stira with our Mishnah. Ve'elu shemichu biyadam, and what were they very unhappy about? What did they protest? Matir and gamzio shel hektish, shel charav shel shikma. As we said, they were matir the gamzio shel hektish, right? The branches of hektish, because they felt that they were only makdish, their forefathers were only makdish the trunks, and they felt that even gidule hektish would be okay. So they were matir that, and the rabbis were very upset about that. Uparts in pirtzos begagosein, uparts in the lahachal neshal ani, and b'shnei batzoros, b'shabazav yom tovim. So you see, they weren't happy about that either, and they protested. And here, Yehuda even adds in one more. The nosnin peya layerek. And they used to give peya from vegetables. Vegetables are not chayiv in peya. The Mishnah says in peya, at the beginning, that there are five requirements for an item to be chayiv in peya. Rashi here quotes a few of them, but I brought the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there are five altogether. Right? Five requirements. It has to be ochel, it has to be a food, it has to be edible, it has to be nishmar, guarded, meaning it can't be hektish, it can't be hefker, it has to be gidulav min haaretz, it has to grow from the ground, unlike mushrooms, which are halachically considered growing from the air, that's why you make a shakal, it has to be likitaso ka'achas, you gather it at one harvest season, and finally, machniso lakiyam, it's got to be able to last after you gather it. It's got to last. It's got a machniso lakiyam. So vegetables are machniso lakiyam. I'm not talking about the age of refrigerators where everything's machniso lakiyam. Naturally, is it machniso lakiyam if you put it in the ground, vegetables or not? They'd rot. So these are the five requirements in peya. Perek aleph mishnah dalid. The five requirements are peya. Klal amur bepeya. Kalshu ochel v'nishra v'gidul min ha'aretz. L'kitasuk achat machniso lakiyam chayev bepeya. So what's excluded from machniso lakiyam? Vegetables. What's the problem with giving extra peya? The problem is if you give something peya, then it's pater from maestras. And really, these vegetables are chayiv in maestras. By your designating it as peya, you're being mafsid the levim. And eventually the kohanim that take trumas maestra from there. So that's why it's not good to give extra peya. So that's what the rabbanan were upset about this also. Right, and the Rabbanan were mochep. What do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, they weren't happy about any of these things. So how can the Mishnah say that they were happy about it according to Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, ulotameich shisha shiva havi. What do you mean? The whole brice is a problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda has seven things, not even six things. Right, what do you mean shisha dramas anshi yericho? The peo is number seven. So the Gemara says, elasami mikan katsira. Take out the katsira word. Take out Ksira, so there was only six, meaning he was happy with Ksira. He was only unhappy with Gedisha, with the making it into piles. But the Ksira, he was happy with, and that's not on the list in this Brysa. Okay, what is, before we continue, what is Karech Neshma? What is that? So, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in Psachim. In Psachim, and Daftez, a Nunvav. The Gemara in Nunvav, where this is quoted. Nunvav and Aleph. What does it mean, Karech Neshma? So, Rav Yehuda says, they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, without being mafsik. Shema Yisrael, without being mafsik. What does that mean, without being mafsik? So Rashi says they were mafsik between echad and v'yahavta. That's what Rashi says. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, v'yahavta is Hashem Elokecha. They were mafsik between echad and v'yahavta. That is Rashi's pshat. Interesting. Says the Marsha, what happened to Baruch Shem? They were mafsik between echad and v'yahavta. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, it must be a Tov Sofer in Rashi. It can't be that there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether you say Baruch Shem. Right, that Gemara in Psachim that, it's right here. Psachim that says that Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, not saying, we say it quietly. There doesn't seem to be a machlokas about that. We don't find anyone in history that didn't say Baruch Shem. So it can't be. So when Rashi says they were a mafsek between Echad and V'yahavta, it must mean Echad, Baruch Shem, and V'yahavta. And after all, you know what my raya is? Look at our Tosfos. Look at Tosfos right here. Menachas Zayin Aleph. The last two lines of Tosfos. The Yesh Mi Sha'omer. He's quoting Rashi. Shlo Hayim Afsikin Ben Echad LeBaruch. So you see, it has that other girsa in our Tosfos. Zayin Aleph and Aleph. So Rav Moshe thinks that it is a Tosofer. And even if it's not Tosofer, this is what Rashi means. That is number one. You weren't mafsik between Shema V'yahavta. In the Magalias Hashas, he says, what's the message of not being mafsik? Shema is all about sichlios, understanding God in our mind. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, God is one. The next line, v'yahavta, is in our heart. V'yahavta Hashem Elokeinu b'chol levavcha. One is the intellect, one is the emotions. So, the Anshe Yericho weren't mafsik, because they said it's all one avodas Hashem. The intellect and the heart, you got to put it all together. The Rabbanan said, you're right, it's one package, but you can't mix them up. There's the intellectual recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael, and then there is the emotional connection to God. But each one has to exist on their own, one after another. But you can't mix them up. You have to have a little hefsek in between. That was the machlokas between the Anshe Yericho and the Rabbanan. That was number one. What does it mean, Karech Neshma? That they were a mafsik. That was Rav Yehuda there. Rava there says they were a mafsik. Mafsikin hayu, Ela shahyu omrim, hayom alavavecha. They didn't break between the word hayom alavecha. V'yad Hashem alkecha b'halavecha nafshah v'mdeh v'ayu az v'mayil asher nuch v'savcha hayom alavecha. As if to say, today should be on my heart, but not tomorrow. We're supposed to pause after the words hayom. Hayom alavecha. Mitzavcha hayom, I'm commanding you today, alavecha. But it's not that, it should be only on your hearts today. So they were mafsik, so that was the problem. They didn't break between Hayom and Alavecha. Rabbeinu Yona, in Maseches Brachas, quotes a third pshat. Rabbeinu Yona quotes a Yerushalmi that says, they didn't lane Shema with the trup. They didn't lane it with the ta'amim. Karech Neshma, they just said it quickly. They didn't lane it with the trup. And Rabbeinu Yona is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, the minhag of many to recite Shema with the trup. That's this Rabbeinu Yonah, based on this Karech Neshma, says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samach Aleph Siv Chav Dalet. Tzarech likros kriya Shema bata'amim, kamo shehem batora. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Ramah, lo na'agu kein b'medina selu. If anybody has the minhag not to do it, the minhag, some people not to. U'mikol makom ha'medaktikim machmirim b'kach. But the Ramah says, if you can be medaktik to do it, it's better to do it. The Mishnah Berurah adds, though, only if you could concentrate on what the words mean as you say the trup. It's more important to know what the words mean than to say it with trup, says the Mishnah Berurah. So if you can say it with trup and put the breaks in the proper place, so then fine. Tzarech lizar lefsok b'makam haroi lahafsik lefi ha'inyan, k'dei sheyia tam b'havana ledvarav, alken yira lekrosa b'nachas. So you got to say it slowly. D'ilav hachi yishtan lefamim havanas dvarav al yidei zeh. Right, you just have to make sure you have the kavana, ki anegina lemishu lo hergaba, mafsid kavana. If you're not used to doing it with a trup, says the Mishnah Berurah, you're going to mess up your kavana, and kavana is more important than trup. Right, trup is a lachachila, kavana is ma'akev. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, one should make sure to do it with a trup. Just to, there's nothing to do with us, but in that shuvah of Rav Moshe, we talk, it's in chelik hey simin hey. where he talks about how Baruch Shem is an integral part of Shema, and he can't say that Rashi said you don't say it. See, in that, just the next tshuva, it's a four-line tshuva. Just interesting, he was asked, if you have little kids in elementary school, is it better for them to daven in shul with the balabatim, where it's bechipazon, and it's a quick minyan, and they're not really going to get proper chinuch and davening, but they'll daven with a minyan, or is it better for them to daven in their classroom without a minyan, slowly with their Rebbe? So Rav Moshe says, 1979, Rav Moshe says, in the classroom, that's better chinuch for tefillah. So what, they won't have a minyan. That is better chinuch. She's palum bi'a yeshiva makam shalomdim. Veins in nechshav bittul Torah. And even if it takes away time from learning, v'lo yanicham lispalav batekinesios and balabatim, sh'aydei kach yischanchu shalo karoi. They'll get the wrong message about what davening is. So therefore, it's better to not have the minyan, says Rav Moshe. That's just the next tshuva that I saw, instead of doing that. Okay, Rabosai, we are on Amud Beis. Kotzel shachas umachal behema. So we have a Mishnah. We had an Amud Aleph. We had the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're allowed to cut before the Omer for animal fodder, as long as it didn't grow a shlish yet. That was Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So it's not Hasa. Now we have a Mishnah in Peah. Ve'ilu mafsikin lepeah. The following items are mafsik your field for Peah. If you have one of these in the middle of your field, then your field is considered two fields, and you have to take Peah from each of them. Hanachal, a river, vashlulis, or a place that gathers rainwater, v'derach ha'yachad, v'derach ha'rabim, right? Little roads, a private road, a public road, v'shvil ha'rabim, v'shvil ha'yachad, different paths, ha'kavua, v'mosachan, v'mosach shamim, that is a path that is even in the winter. Even in the winter, where it's a rainy season, it's a path kavua, that's a hefsek. Vahabor, or a pit, vahanir, or a plowed field, vizera acher, or a different type of plant, vikotzel shachas, mafsik div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, if you harvest for animal fodder, a certain area of your field, that's mafsik the two sides of the field, and you have to bring payah from the two different sides of the field. Vachachamim omrim, ein mafsik elam kein charash. No, Chacham say, no way. Just gathering for animal fodder, that's considered the beginning of your harvest. That's not mafsik anything. Unless you plowed it over, that's not called a hefsik. So, now we have, for the rest of the Amud, we have three suggestions. This Rebbe Meir who says, by peah, that if you harvest for animal fodder, that's mafsik. The Gemara now is about to compare the idea of harvesting for animal fodder being mafsik for peah, and the idea of harvesting for animal fodder being allowed before the Omer. Both of them is not called a ketzira, and that's why it's mafsik for peah, and that's why you're allowed to do it before the Omer. So who is Rabbi Meir like? Rabbi Meir here says that kotzer l'shachas is mafsik. So three suggestions. Number one, Amar Rabbi Chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Shimon Amra. Rabbi Meir here is like Rabbi Shimon on Amud Aleph. Rabbi Shimon, what did Rabbi Shimon say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon said, if your coat's there for animal fodder, even after it brings a shlish, it's still okay. It's not called a katsira. De Amar Yikser v'yachal af mishivi a shlish. Alma, what do you see from there? Katsavar, kol ha'shachas lav katsira hi. So possibility number one, Rabbi Meir here by Peah is like Rabbi Shimon by Omer. So Yosef Rabba Karmel Allah Shmaitza. Rabba said this over Esvei Rav Acha Bar Huna Rabba, and Rav Acha said it can't be. Why? Because we have a Tosefta. The Tosefta says Achla. Well, at least try to do the second one. Achla Chagav Karsamu Nemalim. What happens if you didn't cut it, but grasshoppers destroyed an area of your field, or ants, Shavratu Aruach, or the wind, Hakomodim Charesh Mafsik Lo Charesheno Mafsik? In that case, everybody agrees that that's not good enough. You have to plow over the field. The grasshoppers and the ants aren't good enough. Hakomo deman. So what does it mean everybody agrees? Who would this be including? Rabbi Meir. L'charabi Rabbi Meir. Meaning, Rabbi Meir says in the Mishnah on top that just cutting it for animal fodder is a hefsik, but if the animals cut it, it's not a hefsik. What's the difference? So, if you say the first Mishnah is where there wasn't a shlish grown yet, meaning it's very early, that's why it's not called a ketzira, if you cut it for animal fodder. And brisa, de charash in lo charash lo, and the brisa by the animals, which requires you to plow, b'shehi v'yishlish, that's where it already grew a shlish, and that's why it's not good enough just to cut it for animals. So then I understand that they both could be Rabbi Meir. Ella I amrit masisa nami b'shehevi shlish. But if you want to say even the first Mishnah on top is where a shlish grew already, and he's holding like Rabbi Shimon, then it doesn't work out within Rabbi Meir's. Hashta uma hasam diketzira. Da Adam Amr B'Meir Lo Shma Ksira. Well, in the first case then, even where a person is cuts it, you would need a shlish. Hachala Kal Shekein. Surely here, it should have been good enough. And Rebbe says, it's not good enough. So therefore, the Gemara rejects it and said, you're right. Ela Rebbe Meir, Beshitas Rebbe Yehuda Amra. Rebbe Meir here by Peah must hold like Rebbe Yehuda by Omer. Meaning what? It's only not considered a Ketzira if you cut it for animal fodder before it's ripe. Before Shlish. Da Amar, Emasai, Bezmach, Hischel, Achelo, Hevi Shlish, Avalim, Hischel, Achelo, Hevi Shlish, Usur. So that is suggestion number two. We wanted to say Rebbe Meir was like Rebbe Shimon. That didn't work out. So we said Rebbe Meir is like Rebbe Yehuda. We'll have to stop here. And before we reject this, and then we will go on to a third shita of who Rebbe Meir is like. Okay, we'll have to stop here. The Parsha Shir is up. Everybody should enjoy. And tomorrow we finish up, Ez Hashem, Perek Rebbe Yishmael.